It's not just the open wing. Hold on a second. Hey!
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
He's not just a great football broadcaster. No, you can hear. He knows how to put people in his place.
Especially on this day of days, National Dog Day, Mark.
National Dog Day is here, so we probably should get a little more info on who that dog is that Charles Davis was putting in its place last time he came on. And also last time he came on, it marked the continuation of the worst streak of my career, which is bringing Charles Davis on and continually saying that he works for a network for which he no longer works.
All right, the blood pressure here then.
Today is the day, Charles, where it finally goes away for good. We're going to break this damn thing right now. I have practiced all morning.
Come on now.
I'm going to clear my throat and let it out. Ladies and gentlemen,
on
River Island's guest line on 95.7 The Game, Charles Davis of CBS Sports joins us on the show. Charles, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I am doing great. Is it okay if I show my age to begin with? Is that
all
right? So what you just talked about there, like, we all have those things, all right? We're okay. And this is my equation to it, right? When you would always say the other network. You remember Chevy Chase in European Vacation?
Oh, yeah.
When they got on the roundabout and he couldn't get off the roundabout.
Big Ben,
hey, kids,
yes.
Look again, it's Big Ben. Right? That happens to all of us in some way, shape, fashion, form. Like, anyone who's hearing our voices, just think to yourself, when you know there's something else you're supposed to say or something else you're supposed to do, and you keep coming back and doing it the other way and it drives you crazy. Happens to absolutely all of us. To show my age, there was an episode of Mary Tyler Moore where Murray, the head writer, was writing for Ted Knight, who was the broadcaster. And back then, the broadcaster did everything, right? Like, you name it, news, everything. They'd bring on John Amos to do sports once a season. I think that was early diversity for the network. Hey, there's Gordy. He's our sports guy. But the episode was, there was a big time person, head of a government, some sort of, with a very difficult name to say. And Murray was in the hole gambling or something, and he ended up betting Ted Knight that Ted couldn't pronounce the name correctly the first time on air. And Ted Knight spent the whole day at the network nailing it, walking by Murray and just hitting him with it. Bam! Got it again. And of course, as soon as the light came on, Ted choked and mispronounced the name. Murray won the bet, the whole deal. It happens to all of us. It happened to me in a game many, many, many years ago. I was working for TBS. We were doing Washington State hosting USC, Pete Carroll's tenured SC. Troy Polamalu was playing, which really isn't that difficult if you're into football. Guys, that entire day, I could not say Polamalu. To this day, the person who does my boards for the games, Sam, been a friend since we've been working back in the TBS days, at least once a month will tease me about not being able to say Troy Polamalu. I mean, I got so flustered during the game. I couldn't get it. I had my head in my hands in the second quarter, and he and the crew have been laughing at me ever since. So, long way of saying, my man, you're not alone.
The problem is, Polamalu probably had 17 tackles in that
exactly.
game.
Exactly.
Well, here's the wild part. He sprained an ankle early and couldn't finish. And no, I did not want him out of the game, but at the same time...
Little relief, right?
Yeah.
Little relief. Well, and by the way, here's why, like, when he's coming up at USC, Charles, some of these names, they take a minute. Like, they seem not difficult now. All of us can say Atentacumpo. All of us can say Tungavailoa now, but we couldn't when we first met them. We were like, what is, I don't even know what to do with that name.
You know what would be fun? It'd be really fun is if you took all of us, and you notice I say us. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's real easy for people to point fingers all the time. But if we're in the business, it's us. All right. Wouldn't it be fun to take all of those people you're naming, right, with all these names that now we can rattle off, and let's say their first season of playing, let's say within their first 5 to 10 games, depending on whether it's football or basketball or whatever, and see how many different ways their names were pronounced early.
Oh, man.
Before we all got it.
That'd be a great blooper reel.
You would find me absolutely butchering names. And I don't mean to, because I want to get it right. I've had parents approach me about getting names right. Occasionally I've done it right, and they've been grateful.
Right.
I've had parents go, hey, you're messing up my kid's name. You know, and the last thing you want is mom upset because you didn't get their kid's name right.
No doubt about it. So, Charles Davis, CBS, like, look at this habit that we're creating here.
And that's a name we can all say.
You like DiMaggio on the 56-game streak. Now you're rolling.
Yeah, we're hot, and plus we can start the conversation with a name that I think we can handle, and that's Juwan Jennings. So, Charles, we've been sitting here in the Bay talking about this a lot with regard to, man, he's not, I mean, he's good, but he's not elite. He just signed a new deal last year, but his importance to the Niners is clear. They're banged up at the position, and here we are on cutdown day still dealing with this. So how do you see this from his perspective and the teams?
It's one of those deals where everything that you've said is laid out perfectly, but right now you'd have to say things have tipped to his advantage because of everything that's going on at the position. People hurt, nothing solidified, what's happening there. It works for him because of that. The Super Bowl appearance does not hurt one bit. That lingers in the minds of the public and people who like the team. The other part of it is he is so darn reliable for a quarterback. You can go there and get completions, even though you say to yourself, I'm not sure how we do that. Look, you go back to his timing, go back to his combine, right? He ran a time that in a lot of cases kind of disqualifies a receiver. But I keep telling people all the time, sometimes you have to get past certain things. Maybe his biorhythms were off. Maybe he runs it a little bit faster later. But does he find ways to get open and make plays? Okay. This kid, who's a rookie out of Miami, I don't know he's going to make it to Tennessee Titans. Xavier Restrepo, he ran 4.81 at the combine this year, and that killed him. He doesn't get drafted. But somehow he caught 200 passes in college. Okay. Anquan Boldin is maybe my favorite one, who I think was a 4.8 plus 40 yard dash guy and caught 100 balls as a rookie. Strength. Agility, timing, route running. Sometimes we have to get past the stopwatch, and Jennings has proven that during his career, that the stopwatch doesn't rule who he is as a player. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
And the conversation is made more fascinating to me by the fact that Kyle Shanahan's been able to do more with lesser at receiver and certainly running back. How much of the Shanahan factor plays into the stalemate insofar as, you know, maybe Kyle Shanahan thinks that he can find the next Juwan Jennings in his system?
Kyle Shanahan, I'm not speaking for him. I'm speaking about I'm speaking as an observational person of him. In my mind, Kyle Shanahan always believes he can find someone else. He always believes he can find another player to do and scheme for and create. He always believes that whoever he steps in and puts out on the field, he'll find a way to make them better that day. And the truth of the matter is his track record says he can and has. That's what it comes down to. Very few people are we going to talk about, I think, can scheme and call a game the way Kyle Shanahan can. I mean, there are times people in this league, right? Let's face it, guys. You know what it's like when we talk about people coming out of college, right? Quarterbacks who have to throw with better anticipation. How many times have we relayed the same story? Every one of us is broadcasters. When the quarterback gets to training camp in the NFL after being in college and doesn't throw the football, and the coach goes, son, why don't you throw the ball? Coach, he wasn't really open. Son, in this league, that is open. You got to find a way to put it in there, right? Because defensive backs are better, quicker, the windows are tighter, et cetera, et cetera. My point is, how many times have you watched a 49ers game and guys are wide open, like clearly, yards, no one around? That scheme is awfully effective. And that's why I think, you know, if you're Kyle Shanahan, you're like, okay, I don't have everybody I want, but I'll find a way to make what I have better. And I always come back to years ago, I was working for I'm not going to say it, Mark, because it'll get you going on.
It'll
break your streak. It was a different network, okay? And that's when 49ers weren't very good. But we had ball games where we're watching quarterbacks play, and you know where I'm going with this, right? And all of a sudden, they are viable. Were the 49ers winning games? No. But they were scaring the heck out of people. We had a game in Philadelphia, and who was it? Beathard. C.J. Beathard played. And all of a sudden, they're scaring the heck out of the Eagles. And you're saying, how the heck did they do that? I mean, Nick Mullins look extremely viable. Are those guys threats to go to the Hall of Fame? No. Are they truly stars in the NFL? No. But in that system, if you do the things that he teaches you and you have the quick twitch and the reaction and all that, you can be viable in that system. He has always been able to do that. I've always been a big admirer of Kyle Shanahan and how he does things.
Charles Davis is with us here on Willard and Dibbs. We are live at Splash at Thrive City on 95.7 The Game. Charles, is the wide receiver market, is it out of whack right now with how much these guys are getting paid?
I don't think so, because this is where we ring the bell. I always come back to the Jerry Glanville, the old man in black, right? Yo, you got to run the football, make sure you set a tone and have some kind of identity. But when it's time to ring that bell, which is one of his favorite expressions, right? When it's time to ring that bell, you got to be able to throw the football. And that's where the game is. When I was younger, since I've already revealed my age, right, and where I am and what TV I was watching, because there are people listening going, Mary Tyler Moore, what the hell are you talking about, right? Look, when I was younger, you ran around, the jersey you wore in your neighborhood had a running back's number on it. Okay? Who was your favorite runner? Because that runner was getting 20, 25 carries a game. He was a lead runner. There was no second runner. Right? That guy was the dude. Kids coming out of Texas ran all wishbone stuff. The only time they caught the ball was when it was pitched in the air on an option pitch. Now, you go to the state of Texas, what are they giving us? Pitchers and catchers, wide receivers and quarterbacks, runners. Yeah. But you guys know where we are with runners. We keep talking about last year was the year of the runner. We brought the runner back into the game. How many of them really cashed in off of that? It's still throwing the football is the way that we get that ball going. It's the way that we create points. It's the way that we do things, how we hunt big plays. 9 times out of 10, impulse is like, we're going to throw it. We're going to throw it. It's just very hard to put a true ground and pound offense together with today's rules, CBA, how often you're in pads, all of those things. And I'll say it, if you're an offensive coordinator or a guy who calls plays, you don't get a ton of credit if your team runs people into oblivion. You're not known as a genius unless you're throwing it around.
Doesn't that then make Kyle Shanahan the exception to the rule? Because, as you know, they go 21 personnel, two backs and one tight end more than anyone, and they run it successfully, and now they have Brian Robinson. So is Shanahan zigging while the rest of the league zags?
Always has, though, when you think about it. The first Super Bowl year, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm guessing I'm in the neighborhood. The two playoff games before the Super Bowl, didn't the 49ers run it like 8,000 times,
yeah,
and Jimmy Garoppolo threw it 10 times or less in both games?
It definitely did in the NFC title game against Green Bay. I think he had eight pass attempts.
Yeah,
I can't remember the week before.
Remember what it was before, but it wasn't much. I know Raheem Mostert just kept running into the goalpost. That's all I remember. So he's always been that, right? And remember where he came from on that. He came out of the womb watching dad run the heck out of the football, watching his father create 1,000-yard runners out of guys you've never heard of before or since. Remember that? It seemed like every year they'd have a different guy, and a different guy run for 1,000 yards because they had such an incredible scheme. They did such a great job with it, and they were willing to stick with it. Kyle has the best mix of it in the NFL in terms of having the patience and the willingness to stay with the run and create that, but not afraid to throw the football when necessary or be able to create the big plays off of the run game and throw it. So he's not zagging at this point. This is what he's always been. When he has great teams, we get to see it much more on display because they play the bigger games. We see him all the time getting to the playoffs, the whole deal. But he's always been like that.
Charles, last year was such a weird year, and everybody has their thoughts and reasons as to why a highly favored Niner team would go 6-11. What do you see this year in terms of a bounce back, in terms of the NFC West? What's your thought?
I just think a healthy Niners team is right back in the mix. It's funny because just a couple of years ago, the best division in football was probably NFC West, right? We had three teams go to the playoffs. You know, we thought the Cardinals were on the rise. And as it turned out last year, the Cardinals led the division with, what, 4 or 5 games to go. Couldn't hold the division lead. At the end of it, Los Angeles won it. San Francisco had a ton of injuries, couldn't compete in that part of it. Seattle was right there with an opportunity. In fact, they're the ones who put the hit on Arizona and started them on their slide on out of it. So we were used, you know, we're used to that out in the West, okay? I think the Rams' consistency at different times has probably surprised people, but I give them a ton of credit. That Sean McVay, after we got through those couple of years of every year wondering, should I coach, should I not, what should I do, should I do this, should I do that? We haven't heard that in a while, have we? He's back, he's fully in, and boy, they do a nice job. Mike McDonald's team, they battled real hard, have a new quarterback to go. I just think the 49ers, with good health and getting Robert Saleh back as a defensive coordinator, is a big, big deal for this team. I think they're right in this mix. I really do. To me, the interesting team, the most interesting team and one to watch is Arizona. Because they're at this point now with Jonathan Gannon and his crew where people have liked the potential of Arizona. They've liked Jonathan Gannon and what he's done. You know, Drew Petzig on offense as a coordinator, Nick Rawls on defense. I'm on record as being fully in with those guys. I really, really like them. But at the end of the day, it's a true results-based league. They can't just be, hey, they're on the rise, they're making it. It has to come to fruition. And I feel like there's a lot of pressure in their area to be a playoff team. So it's going to be interesting to see how they come out of the gate and play.
Yeah, the West is feeling somewhat wide open. You mentioned Robert Saleh. They only bring back 6 defensive starters for a team that was 29th in points allowed. How big of an impact can one man, in this case Robert Saleh, make on a very young defense?
I think he can make a huge difference because that's how he worked his way up through the system and became a head coach. You know, developing guys, seeing something in them that other people didn't see, maybe putting them in spots that people didn't anticipate. Fred Warner would be Exhibit A, right? You know, the guy was a nickel safety in college. They turned him into a middle linebacker. He's going to waltz in and wear a gold jacket one day, all right? In New York, he did that. Remember his first, I think one of their early drafts, they drafted like 2 or 3 safeties with the idea that 2 of them at least were going to be moved to linebacker. And it worked out pretty well last year, Jamie and Sherwood, and he ended up playing awfully well for them. I just use that as examples of seeing players, seeing something that maybe other people didn't see, and developing and honing that skill. I just think there's going to be a bunch of guys chomping at the bit to play for him and to play well. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see the 49ers defense play maybe better than what projections are in terms of, you know, who's back, big-time names, things of that nature.
All right, Charles, before you go, I want to ask you, when I say, hey, what'd you think of the news of the day, does your mind go to Shedeur Sanders made the Browns or Travis Kelce's marrying Taylor Swift?
Shedeur Sanders making the Browns, to me, was a fait accompli. I mean, when they kept talking about keeping 4 quarterbacks, I actually called a friend of mine who's a former GM in the league. I said, "You ever keep 4 quarterbacks?" He's like, "No." he's like, "No." He said, "That means there's something in the works somewhere. They're going to move somebody." And we talked our way through it. And I just said, "Okay, if I say to you, there's no way to get rid of the 2 rookies because next year they have 2 first round picks, right? They've acquired a 2nd first round pick. It's supposed to be a huge quarterback year coming out of college football. You start with Flacco, but if somehow you're 1-3, I said to me, you got to play the 2 youngsters and see what you have, don't you? And he agreed with me. He said, to me, that's how I would see it. And I said, Kenny Pickett's odd man out somehow, some way. He gets traded, off he goes. obviously the news of the day was the engagement, because I was at my favorite sandwich shop and news hit my phone. I kid you not, I'm in a sandwich shop that's not a sports sandwich shop. And you know what happened? The buzz happened. All of a sudden people were like, oh my God. Oh my God. They're engaged. They're engaged. Those two have crossed over from sports and entertainment to simply cultural zeitgeist.
Charles, I shared the story on air earlier today. I did something I shouldn't do because she was in school, but my 16-year-old daughter, I texted her, and all I said was, I assume you heard the news? And she just said, yes. We didn't even need to say what it was.
You didn't say what it was.
She knew exactly what I was talking about right away.
My dad taught for 40-something years. He got out before cell phones became a real thing. I could see him. Right now, he's somewhere. He's in New York State, just like sensing what you just said. Like, yeah, parent texted the kid in the middle of class. That's just
about a tight end marrying a pop star.
About a tight end married a superstar.
It's bad parenting. There's no two ways about it. I'm guilty.
Hey, by the way, you're not alone. Okay,
exactly.
if my kids were still in school, I might have driven over there and said, "Hey, did you guys hear?"
Right.
I was about to text my 3-year-old, but I remembered she doesn't have a phone yet, Charles.
Oh, she doesn't.
And guess what? You just made the case for her to get one at 3. Like, how do I miss this news, Dad? If I had a phone, I wouldn't have missed it.
Oh, that's right, Charles.
Charles, you're the best, man. Thank you so much, as always.
Appreciate you guys very much. You take care of yourselves. Have a great season.